Welcome to Zikhu Daf Sin Mani, member by Ram Gold and Thir Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Mem Dalad, the third parak, Kol Tzlami. The Zikhu Masechta Avodah Zarah program has been dedicated to Zikhu Nishmas Rav Moshe Binyamin ben Rav Menachem Alav Hashalom, and Zikhu Nishmas his son, Rav Menachem Avram ben Rav Moshe Binyamin Alav Hashalom. May the Neshamas have an Aliyah. So the three Dafs are going to focus on, number one, in the next Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi says, Sochek v'zorah l'ruach umatu l'yam. One may grind an idol and scatter it to the wind or throw it into the sea. The Chachamim argue that if so, it will become fertilizer, and the Pasuk prohibits benefiting from idols in any way. Rabbi Yossi told the Chachamim that the Egel HaZahav was ground into fine dust, but they responded that Moshe sprinkled the powder into the water and made Yisrael drink it because when Iskaven Elabotkun Kosotos, Moshe intended to test them like Sotos to determine their participation in the Egel. Rabbi Yossi told the Chachamim that King Asa ground up his mother's idol and burned it in Nachal Kidron without concern of fertilization, and they responded, Nachal Kidron ein magadol smachim. Kidron Valley does not grow vegetation. Rabbi Yossi told the Chachamim that Chizki ground up the Nachash Nechoshesh, the copper serpent made by Moshe, but they responded that since it was made from Moshe's personal property, it could not become prohibited through the worship of others. Thus, it did not need to be ground at all, and Chizki only did so because he saw people erring after it. Point number two, Rav Huna poses a contradiction between psukim. If David and his men burned captured idols or carried them away and kept them. He explains that after Itai HaGiti, a Gentile, joined David's camp, he was able to nullify all idols. Similarly, the Pasuk says that David took the crown of their idol Malkam, and Rav Nachman explains that Itai HaGiti permitted it by nullifying it. The Gemara wonders how David wore this crown, which was extremely heavy, a kikar zahav, a talent of gold. Rav explains that it was fit for David's head, although he did not physically wear it. Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Chanina says that a magnet held the crown suspended. Rabbi Elazar says the crown had a previous stone worth a kikar zahav, but that was not its weight. David said, "B'schar shebekudecha notzarti, as reward for guarding your commandments, zohaisali le'edus, I had this crown as a testimony, because the crown fit him exactly, despite being perfectly circular." Rav said this crown served as an edus for Beis David, shekol harui l'malchus holamto, for whoever was worthy of kingship, the crown fit him, but not those who were unworthy. Adoniah tried to wear the crown, but it didn't fit him. And point number three, the next Mishnah states that an idolater challenged Rabban Gamliel for bathing in the bathhouse of the idol Aphrodite, and he replied that it's forbidden to answer in a bathhouse. Later he explained, Ani lo basi begvula, I did not come into her domain, he ba begvuli, she came into my domain. Furthermore, we do not say that the bathhouse becomes a noi, an adornment for Aphrodite, since a bathhouse is not something which beautifies. Rather, we say, Nasa Aphrodite noi lemerchatz, Aphrodite became an adornment for the bathhouse. Finally, he pointed out to the idolater that even if someone would give him a lot of money, he would not go into his idol unclothed and relieve himself before it. Yet people did so before this statue. Therefore, it's permitted in benefit because the Torah only prohibits Elohim, their gods, implying Eshenog bo mishum Eloha, that which is treated like a god, not the statue, which was not treated like a god. Rabbi Shai says that Rabbi Gamliel offered a tshuva ganuva, a dishonest response, but Rabbi Chama bar Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi said it was a legitimate response. Four explanations are given for this machlokas. So once again, the three topics are, number one, in the next Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi says, Sochek bezor l'ruach umati l'yam. One may grind an idol and scatter it to the wind or throw it into the sea. The Chachamim argue that if so, it will become fertilizer, and the Pasuk prohibits benefiting from idols in any way. Rabbi Yossi told the Chachamim that the Egel HaZahav was ground into fine dust, but they responded that Moshe sprinkled the powder into the water and made Yisrael drink it because when Iskaven Elabotkun Kosotos, Moshe intended to test them like Sotos to determine their participation in the Egel. Rabbi Yossi told the Chachamim that King Asa ground up his mother's idol and burned it in Nachal Kidron without concern of fertilization, and they responded, Nachal Kidron ein magadol smachim. Kidron Valley does not grow vegetation. Rabbi Yossi told the Chachamim that Chizki ground up the Nachash Nechoshesh, the copper serpent made by Moshe, but they responded that since it was made from Moshe's personal property, it could not become prohibited through the worship of others. Thus, it did not need to be ground at all, and Chizki only did so because he saw people erring after it. Point number two, Rav Huna poses a contradiction between psukim. If David and his men burned captured idols or carried them away and kept them. He explains that after Itai HaGiti, a Gentile, joined David's camp, he was able to nullify all idols. Similarly, the Pasuk says that David took the crown of their idol Malkam, and Rav Nachman explains that Itai HaGiti permitted it by nullifying it. The Gemara wonders how David wore this crown, which was extremely heavy, a kikar zahav, a talent of gold. Rav explains that it was fit for David's head, although he did not physically wear it. Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Chanina says that a magnet held the crown suspended. Rabbi Elazar says the crown had a previous stone worth a kikar zahav, but that was not its weight. David said, "Beschar shebekudecha notzarti, as reward for guarding your commandments, zohai salila edus. I had this crown as a testimony because the crown fit him exactly, despite being perfectly circular." Rav said this crown served as an edus for Beis David. Shekol harui lamalchus holamto. For whoever was worthy of kingship, the crown fit him, but not those who were unworthy. Adoniah tried to wear the crown, but it didn't fit him. And point number three, the next Mishnah states that an idolater challenged Rav Gamliel for bathing in the bathhouse of the idol Aphrodite, and he replied that it's forbidden to answer in a bathhouse. Later he explained, Ani lo basi begvula, I did not come into her domain, he ba begvuli, she came into my domain. Furthermore, we do not say that the bathhouse becomes a noi, an adornment for Aphrodite, since a bathhouse is not something which beautifies. Rather, we say, Nasa Aphrodite noi lamerchatz, Aphrodite became an adornment for the bathhouse. Finally, he pointed out to the idolater that even if someone would give him a lot of money, he would not go into his idol unclothed and relieve himself before it. Yet people did so before this statue. Therefore, it's permitted in benefit because the Torah only prohibits Elohim, their gods, implying Eshenog bo Mishum Eloha, that which is treated like a god, not the statue, which was not treated like a god. Rabbi Shai says Rabbi Gamliel offered a tshuva ganuva, a dishonest response, but Rabbi Chama bar Rebbe Yosef bar Rebbe said it was a legitimate response. Four explanations are given for this machlokas. All right, so now we get our siman daf mem dalet, and our standard siman is mud. Mud, so here goes. The king, who was splattered with mud mixed with crushed idols, went to the bathhouse to wash off his crown and miraculously shaved head, and explained why he was bathing in a place that houses an idol. Once again, slow motion. The king who was splattered with mud, that must be run duff, mem dalad. The king who was splattered with mud mixed with crushed idols, which reminds us, in the next Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi says, Sochek v'zoil l'ruach or matil yam. One may grind an idol and scatter it to the wind or throw it into the sea. The Chachamim argue that if so, it will become fertilizer, and the pasuk prohibits benefiting from idols in any way. Rabbi Yossi attempts to bring proofs from Moshe crushing the egwa zahav and from Chizkiyahu who ground the nachash ha-nachoshes. So, the king who was splattered with mud mixed with crushed idols went to the bathhouse to wash off his crown and miraculously shaved head, which reminds us, the Gemara brings the background to David HaMelech's crown and how, according to one opinion, it miraculously fit his head and of those who were fitting for Malchus. So the king who was splattered with mud mixed with crushed idols went to the bathhouse to wash off his crown and miraculously shaved head and explained why he was bathing in a place that houses an idol, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, an idolater challenged Rav Gamliel for bathing in the bathhouse of the idol Aphrodite, and he replied that it's forbidden to answer in a bathhouse. Later he explained, Ani lo basi begvula, I did not come into her domain, he ba'a begvuli, she came into my domain. Rav Gamliel gives other reasons as well. So once again, the king who was splattered with mud mixed with crushed idols went to the bathhouse to wash off his crown and miraculously shaped head and explained why he was bathing in a place that houses an idol. All right, so now it's time for four blabach hazara. Daf mem. So the siman daf mem relates to mayim, and we use a pool. So here goes. At the little fish swimming pool. Pool. That must be on daf mem, mayim, pool. At the little fish swimming pool, where tarshe and a trufa was served, because the fish had recognizable heads and spines, which reminds us, the mission on the previous daf taught that tarshe and a trufa, a type of small fish, which is minced, is permitted to eat. Abrais explains, kosher rosh v'shidra nikar. O's head and spine are recognizable as kosher fish. Rafuna says this means achdei rosh v'shidra nikar. It's not permitted unless both the head and spine are recognizable. But Rav Nachman says it's sufficient if either the head or spine is recognizable. So at the little fish swimming pool, where tarshein and trufa was served because the fish had recognizable heads and spines, and an expert in identifying kosher species sold fish innards and eggs, which reminds us, Rav said, Kirbe dogim ubaron en nikochin elamina mumcha. The innards of fish and their eggs may only be purchased from an expert in identifying kosher species. So at the little fish swimming pool, where tarshein and trufa was served because the fish had recognizable heads and spines, and an expert in identifying kosher species sold fish innards and eggs, there was a statue of a lifeguard with a whistle in his hand that was usher, Bahana, which reminds us, the third parak begins, Kol tzlamim asurim, all human images are asur bahana, mipnei shehen avadim pamachas bashana, because they're worshipped once a year. This is Rabbi Meir's opinion, but the Chachamim say, Eino asur el koshi yesh biyado mako on zippor kandur. An image is not prohibited unless it has in its hand a staff, a bird, or a sphere. The items in their hands are intended to depict their power over the world, and such images were more likely worshipped. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel prohibits any image which has anything in its hand. The Rabbanan agree that any image worshipped even once a year is prohibited. Daf Memov. So the Simran Daf Memov is a grandma. So here goes. The grandma, grandma, that must be on Daf Memov. The grandma who proudly displayed Shibrei Tzlamim in her Sveika collection, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Amotzi Shibrei Tzlamim, if one finds broken pieces of images, Hayil Mutarin, they are permitted. Matzah Tavnis Yadu, Tavnis Regel, if he found a figure of a hand or a foot, they are prohibited because such items are worshipped in that form. Shmuel teaches that the Mishnah's first ruling does not only mean to permit broken Tzlamim, which are not known to have been worshipped, and therefore are Sveika, a double suffix, since they may have never been worshipped, and even if they were, they may been nullified when broken. So the grandma who proudly displayed Shibrei Tzlamim in her Sveika collection pointed to her Goyishan neighbor's idol outside her window, whose head blew off in the wind and was still forbidden, and which reminds us, the Gemara discusses Avodas Kochavim Shinishtabra Me'eleha, an idol which broke on its own, meaning it was not shattered intentionally by a person. Rabbi Yochanan says Asura Dahalubatla, it's still forbidden because the Akum did not necessarily nullify it, merely because it broke. Reish Lakish says Murteris Mistama Bituli Mivatla, it's permitted because presumably he nullified it, because he says to himself, it could not even save itself from breaking. Can it save me? So the grandma who proudly displayed Shibrei Tzlamim in her Sveika collection pointed to her Goyishan neighbor's idol outside her window, whose head blew off in the wind and was still forbidden, and explained to her friend that it was because Ein Safik Motzmi De Vadai, it was certainly worshipped, and it's only a Safik if it was nullified, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan explains further that broken tzlamim are permitted because they may not have been worshipped, and even if they were, they may have been nullified when they broke, but a broken idol known to have once been worshipped is prohibited because they definitely worshipped it previously. Who says that he nullified it when it broke? Havi safek uvadai. It's thus a case of a safek against a vadai. Ve'ein safek motzmi de vadai. And an uncertainty cannot remove something from its prior certain status. Daf Mem Beis. So the Simran Daf Mem Beis is a mobster. So here goes. The Jewish mobsters. Mobsters? That must be on Daf Mem Beis. The Jewish mobster is on a mission to rid the town of Avodah Zorah, flatten the nose of an idol, which reminds us, Reish Lakish, who says an idol which is broken is nullified, was challenged by a brayso, which teaches that an Akum can nullify his own idol or another Akum's idol by damaging it, but a Yisrael cannot nullify an Akum's idol. According to Reish Lakish, the idol should be nullified automatically since it was broken. Abaya answers Shabchasa. The case is where the Yisrael only struck it and dented it, but no part was broken off. So the Jewish mobsters on a mission to rid the town of Avodah Zorah flatten the nose of an idol that was standing next to some vegetables fertilized from the nearby Asherah's tree fallen leaves, which reminds us, Reish Lakish's challenge from a mission was discussing planting vegetables under an Asherah, a worship tree. Rabbi Yossi says one may not even plant vegetables under it during the winter, although the Asherah's shade is harmful because its leaves fall upon them and fertilize them, resulting in a benefit from the forbidden tree. According to Reish Lakish, the leaves should be permitted as an idol which broke on its own. The Gemara answers that this case is different because the main part of the idol, meaning the tree, remains intact and is not nullified, so the leaves also are prohibited. So the Jewish mobsters on a mission to rid the town of Avodah Zorah flatten the nose of an idol that was standing next to some vegetables fertilized from the nearby Asherah's tree, fallen leaves, and threw all the kalim with sun and moon engravings they had collected into the Yam HaMelech, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if one finds utensils, Ba'alem, Tzuras Chama, Tzuras Levana, Tzuras Drakon, and upon them is a figure of the sun, the moon, or a dragon, Yolichem L'Yam HaMelech, he should bring them to the Dead Sea and throw them in. Mishim Gamliel says, Shal Muchubadim Asurin, those figures which are undignified Kalim are prohibited, but Shal Hamuvuzin Mutarin, those on undignified Kalim are permitted because they were presumably not worshipped. The Gemara explains that although they worship many kinds of idols, but regarding forming an image on a Kali and worshipping it, only these three designs, the Chashive, which are prominent, do they design onto a utensil and worship, but regarding other designs, they make them merely for ornamental purposes. Daf Mem Gimel, so the Simran Daf Mem Gimel is a magazine. So here goes. The popular Avodah Zorah magazine. Magazine? That must be on Daf Mem Gimel. The popular Avodah Zorah magazine with a picture on the cover of a rabbi slapping a goy, Dimimavato, Avodah Zorah, which reminds us, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi reported that he was once walking behind Rabbi Elazar Kapar and he found a ring with the figure of a dragon. He met an Akum who was a katan and said nothing, and then met an adult Akum and instructed him to nullify the idol, but he did not. Boazer slapped him and he nullified it. The Gemara proves three laws of Bittul from this incident. Number one, an Akum may nullify any idol, even someone else's. Number two, only one familiar with the details of idolatry may be bevatel an idol. Therefore, the Katan could not nullify it. Number three, an idolater could nullify an idol even when coerced. Like this, Akum was forced to nullify the found idol. So the popular Avodah Zorah magazine, with a picture on the cover of a rabbi slapping a goy, Tima Mavato, Avodah Zorah, featured a story about how a rabbi used a tablet with various images of the moon on it to determine Rosh Chodesh, which reminds us, the Mishnah states from Gamliel had forms of various phases of the moon on a tablet on the wall, and would ask witnesses to the new moon if they saw it like one shape or another. The Gemara asks that making such shapes is forbidden. Losasuniti, you shall not make with me, which teaches you shall not make images of my servants who serve before me. So the popular Avodah Zorah magazine with a picture on the cover of a rabbi slapping a goy, Tima Mavato, Avodah Zorah, featured a story about how a rabbi used a tablet with various images on the moon on it to determine Rosh Chodesh, and a back page advertisement from Ephraim's engraving selling signet rings that are chosim, v'laboet, which reminds us, Rav Yehuda owned a signet ring, and Shmuel told him, Shinana same ene didain, sharp one, blind this one's eyes, meaning destroy the image. A Jew may not even own an image, so how did Rabbi Gamliel own images of the moon? The Gemara says that the above prohibition only applies to chosam abolet, a protruding signet, mishum chashda, and it's because of suspicion that its owner worships it. A brisa prohibits wearing such a ring, but permits stamping a seal with it because the wax image does not protrude. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff do you know that if an Akum burned down a meadow, all the kosher grasshoppers which were inadvertently roasted in the fire are permitted? That's on Daf. Lamed Ches. Good. Number two. Which daf do we learn about the background to David HaMelech's crown? That's on Daf. Mem Dalet. Good. Number three. Which daf do you discuss planting under an Asherah tree where the leaves of the tree fall off and fertilize the vegetables below? That's on Daf. Mem Beis. Good. Number four. Which daf do you learn that Shivrei Tzlamim, which were not known to have been worshipped, are mutter because of a Sveik Sveika? That's on Daf. Mem Aleph. Good. Number five. Which daf do we discuss in Bishul Akum where the Jew participates in the cooking? That's on Daf. Lamed Ches. Good. Number six. Which daf do we learn that a grain of cut chiltis is forbidden because it was cut with the Akum's knife and the chiltis is sharp? That's on Daf. Lamed Ches. Good. Number seven. Which daf do Mechokas whether one can grind an idol and scatter it into the wind or throw it into the sea? That's on Daf. Mem Dalet. Good. Number eight. Which daf do we have in Machlokas regarding what the din is of an Avodah Zorah that broke on its own? That's on Daf. Mem Aleph. Good. Number nine. Which daf do you discuss a Yisrael nullifying an Akum's idol? That's on Daf. Mem Beis. Good. Number ten. Number ten. Which daf do you learn about Rabbi Gamliel bathing in the bathhouse of Aphrodite and his explanations for why it was permitted? That's on Daf. Mem Dalet. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.